Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly meeting, and I have a wonderful program for us today because we're going to talk about the Heritage Museum here on the magical Isle of Vashon, and I've already had some talk with the two ladies that are going to join us, and I am confident that we're going to have a fulfillment of my mission, which is, as always, from the captain's chair for all of us to feel just a little bit better about ourselves and about the world in which we live at the end of the half hour that we spend together. My greetings go out today to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world who are in jobs that they wish that they were someplace else. Every now and then, even I was in particular a shore job, never when I was at sea, in a situation where I was not feeling that I was contributing or as fulfilled as I should have been. There are thousands, millions of people out there that are in job situations which they would like to change. So my greetings go out to all of them, and all of you, as always, are in the palm of my hand. The medical list today is at least some of Captain Joe's people with successful surgeries, and in my own situation, things continue to improve on a daily basis, and so we are not going to dwell on that, and so we're going to move on. That this is on the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM band, and streamed live all over the world from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden, of which Stockholm is the capital, on the other side of the world. If you cannot hear me on 101.9, that's because we're only bouncing out at about 5 watts. And so most of my faithful listeners listen streaming, and we are streaming live today. And right now we're going to bring in the two lovely ladies who are directly involved with the new exhibit and with the restoration, that's not the right word, the renovation of the Vashon Heritage Museum. So we're going to start with Eliza. So if you would tell us your name and your, well, it's to you to tell us your name. Tell us your name and a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go to Elsa.
I'm Eliza Law. I'm the project manager of the permanent exhibit renovation at the Vashon Heritage Museum. I am Seattle born and bred. I have a background in museum studies and anthropology. And I entertain myself spinning plates all over the city doing various projects for storytelling about our shared history here in the Pacific Northwest.
Do you do anything in particular with the maritime history of the Pacific Northwest, which, of course, that's my field, that's my background?
You know, the closest currently is a book that History Link is working on the history of the Seattle Central waterfront and its development over time, which connects, obviously, to our maritime history.
Are you involved?
But right now I'm focused on aviation and Vashon.
Good, good. Elsa, your turn.
Hi, Captain Joe. Thanks for having us here today. I'm Elsa Kroonquist. I moved to the island in 1999, back in 1999. Raised 2 kids on beautiful Vashon Island. Spent some time working, going off island every day to work. I was the director of an innovation center, and before my position with the museum, I was the director of contract training for all of the Seattle community colleges. I bring that up because that was a role where I did a lot of writing of very large grants and managing of grants. In 2019, I joined the Heritage Museum as their first executive director. And one of the questions they asked was, have you ever written a grant? And because we have this very exciting project that we've been working on for the last few years, the renovation of the new museum, And I could say an affirmative to that. So I've been with the Heritage Museum for over 4.5 years as the executive director, and now I've taken on the role of special projects director for the to reopen the museum, to manage the NEH grant, to manage the entire project, to make sure we have wonderful people like Elisa Law to manage the project as a project manager. And let's see, what else do you want to know? Excited to be here.
So what else I want to know is that you and I first met when you were the executive director. And I have worked with members of the board. I've known members of the board for as long as I've lived on the island, which is about as long as you have. I moved here in late 1998. And I was very much impressed with, first of all, I'm a great believer in the executive director system. And I believe that organizations which are large enough and are financially able to do it should have somebody like that. And organizations which are able to do it and choose not for reasons usually of finances to save money, end up being less than what they can be. You hire a professional captain, and then you get the job done. So, in particular, because I am a great fan of museums, I grew up with the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., and so I was very impressed with the way that you ran the museum here. And so I want to recognize that, and I do it publicly. And so when you sent out the signal to all members, and I am a member of the museum, that you were going to shift from being the executive director to another position, I sent you a note, and I said I was both surprised and I don't know if I used the word concerned.
You used the word gobsmacked.
Gobsmacked, yes. Yes, that's one of my English affectations. For Elisa, I lived and worked in the UK for 3 years at the University of Cambridge, and I have adopted several English affectations. So I was gobsmacked, yes. And so I'd like you to comment briefly on that, please.
Yeah, so I will have been with the museum for 5 years, and I love the museum. We have a wonderful board, as you alluded to, you've worked with some of them, and Bruce Hallman is the president, and I could just go down the list of a really strong, active working board, which I really have appreciated. Couldn't do what we do without them. And also the volunteers, strong volunteers, interested, highly educated professionals that have retired, often have retired, and are working in our collections group. It's time for me to move on. So that's been my decision. I want to finish this project, the NEH grant reporting, open the new museum, because that's pretty exciting, and then find, we're looking for a new executive director. And We're looking for somebody who can take us through that next phase. We'll be up and running, and so they just need to make sure that we're running smoothly. And as for me personally, I'll always be involved in the museum, but I want to take some time and think about my next project. One of them is going to be taking care of some grandchildren, so that's pretty exciting for me.
So I'm going to tell a museum story from my own life, and I'm going to ask first Elisa and then you for your thoughts on it. And in particular, I'd like you to give me some thoughts about the evolution of museum work, because the story I'm going to tell you is concerned with the evolution of a museum. So I am a member of the Scott Poher Research Institute. I manage the construction of the Shackleton Memorial Library. And when we were building the library, we kept all of our activities going, except we had to close the museum down. And we had to close the museum down because we had so many precious artifacts. To me, it is the premier Poher Museum in the world, because the things that people like Scott and Shackleton and Amundsen actually handled and used in their expeditions to the ice in the Antarctic, and other explorers, Amundsen in particular in the Arctic, are in that museum, and they are irreplaceable, and they are worthy of every kind of conservation. One of the pieces there was a display of sunglasses. And the Inuits, which we now call Inuits, were Eskimos, had had for centuries a way of cutting down the glare, and they do it by making slits in pieces of whalebone. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so there was a display of sunglasses and glare protection going back for centuries, and it was all in this one piece in the museum. When the museum was reconstituted, they went at it in a little bit different direction. And the sunglasses were split out and were moved into displays that were of the peoples that had used them, rather than having them all together in a collection. Now, I grew up with the Smithsonian, and I am an avid reader of every single label, every single placard, every single thing that goes with. I am the bane of the existence of anyone who goes to a museum with me, because I will take as long as it takes for me to absorb it all. When I first went into our museum, I thought that this one was in the traditional mold, and I loved it. So now my question to the two of you is, how do you see, and Elisa, you're the project manager, and Elsa, you are the person who is overseeing this whole thing. How do you see this evolving, if at all? And your comments about my somewhat negative reaction to the dividing up of those sunglasses all over the Poher Museum at Scott Poher Research Institute. Over to you, Elisa.
Oh, good question. Well, I have several thoughts. It makes sense to me that there's a certain power in seeing a full collection of objects like the Eskimo sunglasses. I've seen those before, and they're really. Did you have a chance to look through one of them and see how?
Mm-hmm.
I
have. Yes.
So I personally like seeing objects in so you can compare them all together. But part of the beauty of museums is it's a storytelling vehicle, and so. After having the display like that for some time, it made sense to change up the story and spread and, you know, show representation of where those sunglasses came from. That also makes sense to me. So, you know, the museum is an ever-changing entity, and it has a lot to do with who is telling the story, right? How we interpret objects and how we what we choose to focus on. And so to your second question about how that's at play in the new museum, the Vashon Museum now that we're building is making a collage of objects to do with particular time periods. And instead of having each object kind of singularly displayed, and so we're hoping to create, like a collage does, a feeling of an era. You can see it through, you know, what was created, the tools that were used, the graphics that were represented in printed materials, and just looking at it, you'll be transported in a way to a time through materials and tangible culture. So that's something that's changing with the new museum design. Yeah. Elsa, do you have thoughts on that? Or sorry, I'm not the interviewer. Those are my thoughts.
All right. Elsa?
Well, I would say the same thing as Elisa. Well put. I mean, we'll have some displays that will be together, but we are, as Elisa said, we are telling a story and making that item more relevant by showing it in a certain part of the museum, in a certain gallery or display area, relevant to its time, relevant to its use. So I would just repeat really everything she just said. Yeah, I agree with her. And that's what we'll be doing in the new museum.
So another thing that that happened with the Polar Museum, which, by the way, if you are interested in things like that, I highly recommend that you go to the Polar Museum at the Scott Polar Research Institute. It's a wonderful, wonderful place, and it is because of the of that museum in its former life, in its former form, with the sunglasses all together, that I knew that I wanted to be a part of that place. I had, as an icebreaker captain in the Antarctic, I had taken a number of scientists from Scott Polar Research Institute aboard my ship and had taken them, and we had used my boats and my helicopters and the ships itself to take them to the various sites of their explorations and their investigations. And so in 1995, I took Mary to Ireland to find her roots, which we did. And then we took a day to go up to Cambridge from London, King's Cross Station to London, or to Cambridge. And as soon as I walked into that museum, I knew that I wanted to be there because you are infused with the atmosphere of these people who had been on the ice before me and before people like Scott and Shackleton and Amundsen and a lot of them who are not all that well known except outside the polar world, except inside the polar world. And so one of the things that also, there was a whiff of interactivity in the Scott Polar Museum. Are we going to have some sort of, and I'm not a huge fan of all of that, but I'm going to ask you, Elisa, are we going to have exhibits in which, for example, children can pull switches and ring bells and do things like that?
Oh, what a great setup. Yes, we are heavily focused on interactives in the new museum. There's 10 scattered throughout. Every gallery has one, if not two, areas where you can hear Tulshutzi language spoken. You can push buttons to match objects to or match words to the language, where you can do puzzles and and vote using marbles and pull switches that'll change map features from one era to the next, or listen to stories being told by islanders across time and space. There's all kinds of things for kids. You can weave a basket, you can balance a canoe, you can, it's very geared towards youth participation.
But one would hope, or at least this captain would hope, that there's going to be some genuflection in the direction of some traditional displays. And Elsa, I'll leave that to you to comment on.
Yes, there'll be, of course, traditional displays. We have a lot of course, the photographs. We have a lot of, we have the natural displays that you'll be looking at of the windmill tree I'll bring up, which is a huge log, and you'll be able to study that. So there'll be in a lot of your favorite reading of labels and studying as you go. So we're definitely geared to those who want to walk through and do an intensive study, and the ability to then also further their study through our website or through other resources. People who want to speed through a museum and then are stopped by something of interest. We haven't gotten rid of the objects. There'll definitely be objects to look at and to read about, because they're very important. They're very important to our collections group. They're very important to telling the story of the island.
Now, some of this is permanent, and some of it is changing. Is that correct, Elisa? First to you.
What we're working on mostly is a permanent exhibit. So we are anticipating it'll be up for the next 20 years. And then in behind the main gallery is our rotating exhibit space, which will have, as it's describing, rotating exhibits.
Elsa, do you have any feel yet for what some of the rotating exhibits are?
We'll be opening with a political memorabilia of Vashon, and that'll be up July 25th and open when we open the museum, the new museum, on July 25th for the summer and throughout the next year or this year. And then, future exhibits. The rotating exhibits, they take about a year or two for us to put together, and so we have a list of, I don't know, at least 10 of them, and I've just gone completely blank. Elisa, do you have any ideas?
Yeah, no, I'm not on that committee, so I don't have the privilege of knowing much about the future rotating exhibits. No.
One that is coming up that's going to be a lot of fun, especially for me, is the Music of Vashon exhibit. And so that will be quite extensive. And again, that's part of our partnerships, the museum partnership. We're focusing today on the permanent exhibit that will be up for 20 years. There'll be ways that within that exhibit we'll be doing updates and adding more materials, more research material to these exhibits. The permit or the special exhibits, we call them the special exhibits, those are partnerships. Those take the museum. We need the community and someone who has a collection of political memorabilia or music or something of interest to be a part. They become part of the special exhibit committee, and they help us put these exhibits, they curate these exhibits with us. And, you know, we're also involved in the trails on the island and doing the history for the Docton trails. And there's going to be a new Burton trail.
Yes.
So the museum's and the Seattle, or not the Seattle, but the Vashon Town exhibit, the pictures that are in almost all of the windows, that's a would be considered a special exhibit that we did. And we did that during COVID. When you mentioned, you talked about the museum, you shut the museum down. I was thinking we shut the museum down for a year and a half and it had no effect on us because museums are moving to the websites and to taking the museum out of the museum. We're going to be shut right now for 6 months, but we're as busy as ever, more busy.
So there were two of the special exhibits that were of particular significance to me. And the first one was when we had the 100th birthday of Point Robinson Lighthouse, and we had a wonderful exhibit that was curated by Jessica. And that was just a great, and I still have the mannequin with the uniform of the keepers now in the lighthouse at Point Robinson. And the second one was the one that that Chris did on Vietnam. And since I am a Vietnam veteran, and since I know Chris well or knew Chris well, I was particularly touched by that particular exhibit, the one about letters home. So we have, unfortunately and unhappily for me anyway, come to almost to the end of our time together. So my custom when we get to this point is to ask each of you to make any closing remarks that you would like to have. And if there is any fundraising that is going on, you get an opportunity to say something about that. Elisa, I am so impressed by your CV, and I'd like to talk some more to you about all of that. And I know how to find you, and we may be able to have some more conversations about some of the things that we talked about for which we do not have time. So you get to make your closing remarks. Elsa gets to make hers. And then the captain gets to make his.
Thank you. Well, it's been a pleasure. And, you know, working on this project with the Vashon Heritage Museum, I'm just so impressed, as Elsa said, with all of the different folks that are involved and that care about this institution. It's a really it's a gem of a place. And we're excited to reopen for everybody. My plug would be for to submit stories to us. We're looking for a 2-minute kind of standalone quintessential Vashon stories to include in the exhibit and to build over time a collection of these stories. So if you know a good storyteller, I think I'm talking to one right now. I'm going to be talking to you about this after the fact, but we send them our way. We'd love to hear their stories and collect them for the exhibit.
Thank you for being with us today. Elsa? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, thank you for inviting us on. The museum is a wonderful place, and it's going to be a very exciting place. So please, everybody, join us on July 25th for the opening. Before that, we do have a fundraiser. We're bringing back our April Vashon Heritage, celebrating Vashon Heritage Gala on April 27th, which is going to be a lot of fun. It was a packed last time, or last year. And the permanent exhibit, we're still doing fundraising, but we have raised the majority of what we need, and because of our very generous community. And I say thank you to our community, and keep watching us.
So my closing remark is this. The museum itself is a reflection of the special character and characteristic of the island in which we live. We all choose to live here, and we are no one that I know of is living here because they're being forced to. They have some reason other than that they choose to live here, and that's certainly my case. I'm going to live here for the rest of my life. So this is your Captain Joe. As always, I am on station and watching properly. And we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And we'll meet again next week right here on the from the captain's chair. And it will be a wash-up program in which I get caught up because I had a number of my regular features and I got so enmeshed in what Elisa and Elsa were telling me that I didn't get to any of it. So we're going to do that next week. So everybody who is responsible for somebody else, take care of them. Take care of yourself. If you don't take care of yourself, you cannot take care of the people for whom you are responsible and accountable. And that is what your captain has to say about all of that.